Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
What's up, buds?
Sending it back in along the left-hand side. 7:40 to go. Puck in front. Connolly with a chance. And they score! They score! The puck on a rebound for Lars Eller! Eller gets the rebound and puts it home! And Washington leads it! 4-3 with 7:37 to go! The Tiger pouncing at the moment that he can potentially be the hero!
Welcome back to Champions Drink Radio. I'm your host, Greg Young, and today we are welcoming Tariq El-Bashir of The Athletic. So, Tariq, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again, Greg.
Absolutely, absolutely. I believe this is your third appearance together, so it's definitely exciting. First, before we dive in, I want to start on a solemn note. John Walton's younger brother, Scott, was killed in a plane crash late last Thursday. John is a wonderful person and a really valuable member of the Capitals community. And I just want to take this moment to say that from Japers Rink, we all wish him well throughout this extremely difficult time. And Tariq, I'm sure you've shared the same wishes.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, it's always hard to lose a loved one, but, you know, in such sudden fashion, you know, a young guy in the prime of his life with a young family, just heartbreaking. I've talked to John a couple of times. You know, he's doing okay, but you know, like anyone, you know, he's hurting right now. And you know, I wish him all the best. And I texted him last night and said, "Hey, thinking of you." And you know, I know everyone here in the media corps will continue to check up on him and make sure he's doing okay.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And we echo the same sentiments here. All right. So with that, I'm going to separate this, which is now hockey content, from obviously the more personal stuff. So, you know, this transition obviously has to happen, but just want to say, obviously, these are on different seriousness levels. So that said, let's start from the top down. I'm going to ask a basic question that I think has like weird answers to it. But Tariq, have the Washington Capitals given up on playoff contention this season?
I would say when you trade Dmitry Orlov and Garnet Hathaway, you're saying let the chips fall where they may, right? You know, you look at the standings, there's a lot of games left. You know, there are only a handful of points out. But there are a number of teams in front of them that they would have to leapfrog in order to get in. I think what happened here is Brian McClellan looked around and said, "Hey, listen, this isn't a young team that needs the experience and needs to feel a playoff race and somehow get in the first round and then get bounced by Boston or someone superior. That's not what this team is about right now. They're about making a run." And I think what he said with that move is this team is not prepared, as currently constructed with all the injuries and everything else, to make a significant or a realistic run at another championship, or at least a deep run. Yes. And so, you know, he moved two players that he probably felt he was going to have a tough time bringing back. And, you know, this isn't unheard of. Several years ago, St. Louis traded Kevin Shattenkirk at the deadline, got some assets back, and ended up making the playoffs, right?
Yes, they did.
it was a short run, but they, you know, that was the pieces they got, I believe, were kind of part of the foundation for, you know, what they were able to do a couple of years later. So, look, the Capitals are not interested in a tear-it-down rebuild. It's my understanding that, they're going to sell off some pieces if they knew they were going to have a tough time bringing back or didn't fit into their schedule anymore, like a Lars Eller, who has not been traded, but I hear, you know, is on the block, and try to retool this on the fly. The Kobe's got a couple of years left.
Yeah.
They want to maximize those last couple of years.
For sure. For sure. And I guess I mean, one of the tricky parts, too, is kind of a foundational question here is what exactly is the direction here? I mean, because you talk about like there's been seemingly stories that have come from opposite sides of that question. Right. Because, I mean, at the same time, as you mentioned, we have the Dmitry Orlov and Garnett Hathaway trade. But then also the Capitals are interested potentially in Jacob Chychrun, you know, and it seems like they are also interested in potentially selectively buying at times, too. So do they know totally what the direction is? How much of it is going to be a team plan versus kind of just what the market dictates via deadline day?
Well, the market will certainly dictate the details of what they're trying to accomplish. But there is a plan in place. And if they were interested in just a tear it down sell off, they would have moved all of their unrestricted free agents, all of their expiring contracts for whatever they could get. They would have already made four or five deals. They're trying to retool on the fly here. Like they're trying to, again, you know, Dmitry Orlov wanted more than they were comfortable paying. Yeah. They moved him for a first round pick. Before that first round pick from Boston went somewhere else. So they jumped to the front of the line. That's why that deal was made. Garnett Hathaway, another player who was going to have a tough time being re-signed, you know, they moved on from him as well. So Jacob Chychrun is exactly what they're trying to get. A 24-year-old player with some term left on his contract, not happy where he's at, you know, can put up points, can help make this Capitals core, which is not going to change. It's still going to be Ovi. It's still going to be Backstrom. It's still going to be Wilson. It's still going to be Carlson. They're going to try and add a Chychrun or maybe someone else of that caliber to help this to kind of kickstart a rebuild. I think you're going to see some significant moves this offseason as well. You're going to see some here at the deadline, but the real work is going to be done this summer, I think, when they start using some of the cap space that they're going to have from some of these expiring contracts. And, you know, getting back to the Boston deal, that Boston pick is going to be really late, most likely, right? It's going to be 30th, 31st, 32nd. The Caps are actively trying to move that pick right now in order to bring back a player, a young player who's able to help starting next year.
Yeah, so I guess from their perspective, I mean, Orlov and I don't know. Hathaway, I guess, was not a UFA yet, but Orlov certainly was. And so, I mean, you get an asset here that might be, I guess, more easy to flip for a piece that you would long term want. So I guess if we're at the point where we think that this is obviously more of a kind of retool / controlled demolition, maybe, you know, then maybe that makes sense.
For a second. If I can jump in, yes. Hathaway was an expiring contract.
So, oh, he was. Okay, right. But even proves the point more, right? You know, that like if these are, it might be easier to move a, you know, a 31st overall pick than two players on contracts, particularly if they're at a team that really, really is interested in acquiring assets versus players.
Correct. Yeah. So, and again, you know, to further your point, I mean, this is not a demolition. This is trying to maximize those last couple years of Ovi's deal, right? And so they're going to try and load up and get a Chychrun. You know, I know there's other teams involved, but I mean, think about this, Greg. I mean, next year's top six on the blue line, if they were able to get Chychrun, it could be Ferravari on the left, Carlson on the right, Chychrun on the left, fill in the blank UFA on the right. Yes. Let's say Eric Gustafson is re-signed, and let's say Trevor Van Riemsdyk are re-signed. That's a pretty good six right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, finding a top four right-handed D is a little bit like a unicorn, so I just kind of threw that out there. maybe that guy is Nick Jensen. Maybe you are able to, you know, as you get closer to the deadline, you realize the return isn't going to be what you were hoping for, and you now re-sign him. I mean, at this point, the Capitals know what he wants, and he knows where the Capitals stand. maybe the answer is bringing them back. So that's why they're being kind of selective here. And it just wasn't a fire sale, get rid of everybody, everyone's for sale. That was never part of the plan.
No, I get that. And I guess the logical question to flow from it is, as far as you know, what do you think is the Caps' theory about why this season went off the rails? You know, maybe, I don't know, off the rails maybe seems a little extreme, but what do you think really was, what do you think their prognosis of kind of the cause of the downturn this year, I guess particularly the last month and a half or so?
Yeah, I think, you know, the injury thing, it's real. I know fans don't want to hear about it. And I know, you know, players are trained by their PR staffs not to lean on injuries as an excuse. But there is a massive difference between Nicklas Backstrom when he's healthy and whoever they brought in to step in for those minutes. There's a massive difference between John Carlson and whoever comes into his place, right? There's a big difference between Connor Brown, another player, four games, and he blows out his knee and he's out. I mean, the injuries were just crippling for this team. Yes. And, you know, for every fan out there who complains about John Carlson and his turnovers, I think this last month has really kind of shown you the importance he carries on that back end. In terms of generating offense, in terms of eating minutes, playing quality minutes, it is really, really.
I mean, just look at the Caps' role. Power play right now. Yeah,
right. It's an absolute mess. You know, and then Ovi was gone for four games. I mean, of course, he was mourning his father. Everyone understands, but you know that was at a critical moment in this team's season. And so, I the way they look at it internally is, we got screwed essentially by injuries, and part of the injury problem is we're relying on 30 somethings. Let's go get a bunch of 20 somethings at the deadline, and again in free agency, put those players around this core that we've committed to, and hope that we do better next year.
Yeah. And I guess that having an Eller be available makes a certain kind of sense in terms of, you know, obviously now in his 30s, you know, a key member of the Capitals core for a while. But, you know, if you can flip that and kind of, you know, he might be more movable than even, say, like a TJ Oshie or something.
Correct. I mean, again, expiring contract versus term, right?
Yes.
So, you know, TJ Oshie is a player who's been quite banged up the last few years. Very important to this team, but it's missed a lot of time. Has a lot of money left in that contract. That would be very tough to move, I think, at least at the deadline, maybe, over the summer. But I, again, heart and soul guy, I just don't see him going anywhere. Eller, on the other hand, expiring contract, 33 years old. They've got younger players who need a place to play next year. I mean, at some point, you can't keep drafting guys in the first round and keep telling them that the 34-year-old, who's clearly lost a step, is going to take their ice time. At some point you have to get younger. And again, you know, dovetailing that in with the injuries, I mean, younger players don't get injured as much as older players. They come back faster than older players when they do get hurt. So that's something else that's kind of going on here is, you know, you want to get younger, you want to get faster, but younger players miss less time.
Yes, that is absolutely true. Yeah. And so, all right. I guess real quick. So the background here, obviously the background noise is that you were at the Washington Capitals practice. So let's try to wrap this up pretty soon. But so is there any other kind of move? I mean, obviously we talked about Chychrun. Obviously we've talked about Eller. We haven't mentioned Sherry, but I would imagine kind of a similar boat, you know, not a UFA, but, you know, a step forward that could get moved. Is there any other kind of piece or thing that you're hearing about that the Caps might do, you know, kind of open up your notebook a little bit? Like, what's something else you're keeping your eye on?
Well, I have not heard this. The Capitals, as you know, anyone who follows this team knows, they play their cards incredibly close to the vest. I mean, even Elliot Friedman has a tough time cracking this nut. They don't say a whole lot. That said, the thing I'm keeping my eyes open for is, you know, are they, if the opportunity comes to go get a young player like Chychrun, who has a really high asking price, would they move on from a LaPierre or a McMichael? Would they move their own first-round pick as opposed to Boston's first-round pick? Like, how badly do they want to get a guy like Chychrun? Or if there's another player out there, you know, a young player that isn't fitting into this team and is going to be available and could be an impact maker next year, how far are the Caps willing to go? All right, that big cheer there was Ovi just scored on a wraparound.
Oh boy!
On camp on
camper. We're getting some play by play here on Jaypers Recreation. I'm a fan.
It was a beautiful wraparound, and then nice. Laviolette yelled something, and Ovi went over to complain. I think he didn't do it right. He didn't. They're working on some set plays.
Okay.
No, it's actually pretty funny.
So Ovi's gorgeous goal might not have been done correct. So even when Ovi screws up, he scores a gorgeous goal. I guess that's fitting. With
essentially, yes. Essentially. Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Go, sorry. Continue.
Getting back to what I was saying, I mean, and part of me does wonder, you know, in addition to those prospects, if you're trying to go all in for the next 2 years, you could probably make the argument that a Connor McMichael or Hendricks LaPierre aren't really on that schedule, right? Those are guys who are going to be ready a couple years down the road. If you package those guys with a pick, could you get a Jacob Chikrin? Could you go get someone else who could step into the lineup next year and play 20 minutes a night and be a stalwart on the power play and really help this team get going in the right direction? The other thing I'm going to have my eye on is something tells me we could get surprised by something. Like maybe like an Anthony Mantha, maybe – I don't want to say Evgeny Kuznetsov because he's a core player, but he's a good player and he's not had a great season. And I know people are frustrated again. You know, they've been frustrated with him in the past and he had a good year last year. I think they're frustrated with him again. You know, I'm not sleeping very well these nights, Greg.
Yeah.
These days I'm keeping my phone in my hand as I sleep. Something tells me that they're trying to do something. They're trying to take some big acts. They're trying to swing for the fences here. Because they know the pressure is on. If you're going to make another run with Alex Ovechkin, you got to do something big. It can't just be nibbling around the edges.
So, I mean, I guess this kind of moots what was going to be my last question, but I'll ask it anyways. I guess just as kind of a window to where the Caps are. There's been some talk about it doesn't sound like a demolition is in the is in the cards, but if there was or anything even remotely like it, would Laviolette or maybe a assistant like Forsythe or McCarthy ever be in trouble? I mean, it doesn't seem like that's been at all in the cards. Is there any possibility that could happen, or do you just see all right, like if they're gonna be retooling, maybe doing a coaching change in the middle of that doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, I don't see a change happening right now. Not at this stage of the season. I do feel like depending on what they're able to pull off here in the next couple of days leading up to the deadline, I think that'll kind of determine what this team's going to look like, what the kind of foundation of this team is going to look like going forward. And I think then they can kind of start picking and choosing what kind of coach they want to have lead them into the future. It could be Laviolette again. He could be re-signed. They could go in a different direction. I think that's an off-season conversation, something that's going to happen after the season's over.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm going to ask one real quick question at the end. Ovechkin, obviously, he is now back. He scored recently. How is he doing? Obviously, losing your father is, again, a really, really tough situation. So how is he doing? Maybe kind of end this on a slightly more positive note.
Hey, look, it looks to me like he's emotionally kind of reattached here. I felt like even before Mikhail passed, I think he knew that he wasn't doing well and he looked a little distant, a little out of sorts. I feel like he's, you know, I'm watching this practice right now at Honda Center in Anaheim and he's making the most noise and he's out there, you know, yucking it up and kind of getting the energy going. This is the most ebullient I have seen him since his father's passing. So, hopefully that's a good sign that, you know, he's in a better headspace and, you know, everyone mourns differently. It takes people, you know, varying amounts of time to get over it. I mean, he'll never get over losing his father. They're incredibly tight. That said, it does look to me like he's dialed back in. You know, the question is it too late for this guy, right?
Yeah. For sure. No, for sure. All right. Well, that was a good note to end. And Tariq, you know, I know before we typically do like 70-minute podcasts, but the obviously the practice here, the timing is a little tight. Thanks for running, I guess what I'm going to call a tight 20 minutes with me. Where can people find you and your work?
You can find me on Twitter at Tariq_El-Bashir. That's where I try to tweet out as many observations and news tidbits that I can, and also on The Athletic. I cover the Capitals full time and occasionally on NHL Network and on TNT.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been really cool seeing you on TV and everything too. So, all right, with that, if you like the show, please rate, or subscribe, review. We're gonna keep pumping out shows here as we start getting back in the swing of things and get ready for trade deadline. So, with that, stay tuned.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started, from brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money.